If there are three main questions the person has asked, then that means that these are the three most important jobs that we have to accomplish throughout our lives. The first is kvat etim latoyre, whether we put away a set amount of time every day to learn. The second one is whether nusasul nusatu be'emina, whether a person made sure that all he did was done with honesty, he worked with honesty. And the third thing is tzipisa liyeshia, whether we were hoping or waiting for the yeshia, which according to most shittas means that of the yeshia of Mashiach. Whether we were awaiting Mashiach. Now, if this is one of our three most important jobs in our lives, then that means that we have to give away a big chunk of our life to spend time to make sure that we're doing this job properly. Otherwise, you know, we're going to miss the boat. If this is what we were sent for, we can't come back and say, all right, we just forgot why we were sent. It doesn't work that way. If you were sent for this job, this is one of our main and most important jobs throughout our life, is to be a mitzvah in the yeshiva, and we have to spend time to focus and work on it and try to make it more real. Now, there is a slight misconception by people. People think that believing in Mashiach means believing. I believe that Mashiach is going to come. Now, this is not quite true. It's not quite accurate, because although every one of us have to believe that Mashiach is going to come, and every single one of us do believe that Mashiach is going to come, but the word tzipir le'eshia means a lot more than just believing. It doesn't say that we have to laham and to believe that Mashiach is going to. It means tzipir. Tzipir means to await, to anticipate. I can't wait for something to happen. It's like when a person is anticipating some exciting moment in his life, or other people are anticipating the summer holidays, or other people are anticipating various different occasions. You anticipate it, you await it. Our job is tzipisa liyeshia, meaning, did you await the ge'ile? Did you anticipate the ge'ile? Now, unfortunately, probably many of us can't really give a clear answer on that, although every single one of us believes every year is a ma'amin, b'nai ma'minin. But how many of us wake up in the morning and say, I wish today will be the day. Today will be the day. I can't wait for the day that Mashiach is going to come. That's a higher level, which is called tzipir liyeshia. And that is the level that we have to actually achieve. And the truth is, if you look, we all know this Yid Gimel Ani Ma'amin that we say every single day. And one of us, the Rambam, he was kavaded 13 Ani Ma'amins. One of them is that Ani Ma'amin b'min shleime v'bi'as ha-Mashiach, which means I believe that Mashiach is going to come. And the Rambam adds in a few words, he said, v'af ha-pi yishis v'amayah, and even though it's taking so long, achake loy b'cholim shuve, I await it every single day, I await it, I wish it will be today. So the Rambam clearly said that it's not enough just to believe, but you have to actually bring it to the next level, which is to actually anticipate and to wait for the Ge'ilah to come. And the question is, practically, how could we bring that level? Could we achieve that level that we should come from just being believers to actually come to a stage where we actually anticipate and we await and we feel, I wish Mashiach will come today. So perhaps I'll suggest one approach that we could use. Yalkut Shemoyin, it says that the schis emine negali yavisayim in Mitzrayim, and the schis, the merit of the emine that the Eden had, then the Eden was saved from Mitzrayim all those years ago. Ebeschis emine asidim legul, and it will be in the schis of emuna that the Eden will be saved. Neusilov and Mashiach will come, and it brings a pusik in Shemoyin ve'yamayin hu'on. The nation believed ve'yishmi, and they heard kifukad Hashem, that Hashem remembered them, and that's when they were saved. So we see from here that the rizchus, the merit that the Eden was saved in the times of Mitzrayim, was in the merit of Amin, of believing in Hashem. Now, the question is, if all we need to do nowadays is just simply to believe that Mashiach is here, then the question is, why isn't Mashiach yet here? Because obviously we all believe that Mashiach is going to come. So if we all believe Mashiach is going to come, then Mashiach should already be here. Because almost every single Eid believes at some, whether it's in the conscious mind or whether it's in the subconscious, everyone deep down believes that Mashiach will come one day. So why it seems to be that there's something missing here, that it's lacking in our belief. And if our belief would have been complete, then Mashiach would already be here. So how can we get that level that makes sure that our belief should be 100% complete? I'd like to suggest perhaps the following. That, of course, we all believe that Mashiach is going to come. But there's another point here. People have this feeling deep down that Hashem wants to save us. We're not worthy for it. Given all that we've done throughout our life, No person in the world feels that he is absolutely perfect. None of us feel that we're perfect. In fact, it's one of the Yiddish middos is to go around with this feeling of guilt. Almost every single one of us go around with this feeling of guilt. We feel that we're not worthy. So since we're not worthy, then why should Hashem want to save us? Why should He want to take us out of the gulus if we're not worthy to be saved? And I think that's the point where we have to start working on. Because I think that if we would solve that problem and we would get rid of that misconception, I think then our belief would be 100% complete. And what is the answer to this misconception? Why is it untrue? Why are we not right? If we are feeling that we're not worthy to be saved, why are we not right? Shtait Merida Gebet in the Sefer Ikrim, and I've actually mentioned the Sefer Ikrim before regarding different Nikid, but it's actually in the same parak in Sefer Ikrim. Sefer Ikrim is a Sefer which is one of the Rishonim. And he writes there in Perek Memches, he writes a greasy Yisod. And he says that you should know, I'm going to tell you a secret, he says. Whenever the Yidden are going to be saved, it will have nothing to do with their merits. It's going to have absolutely nothing to do with what mitzvahs they're going to have and what madrega they're going to be. It's going to have zero to do with that. It's going to be simply because of Hashem's chesed, because Hashem loves us and because we are His children. And no matter what we've done in our life, we are still always going to be His children, and nothing in the world is going to be able to pull us away from Hashem. And the love of Hashem is infinite. And since it's infinite, then He will save us regardless of what our merits will be. He says, and however much, the illusions are in the Givain, that however many merits we may have, it won't be enough to pull us out of the gulas. So you'll have to say anyway that when Hashem is going to take us out of the gulas, it's not going to have to do with our merits. It's going to be simply because He loves us. So if so, so there's nothing stopping Hashem from saving you today. So says the Sefer Ikrim, all that's needed now is that you should honestly believe that Hashem wants to take us out. That's all you need to do. If you honestly believe that Hashem is capable of taking you out regardless of what you've done in your life, then you will merit the Gilui. And he adds on, and what should the person think? Since he knows that he's done so many avaries and he sinned and he did this and he did that, so why shouldn't that stop him from being saved? So he says, a Moedig Lushin Sefer Ikrim. The Lushin Sefer Ikrim is as follows. He says, E'efshe, it is impossible, she'yeh koyach ha'choyte lachtoy, that the koyach of the sinner, that the strength of the sinner to sin, should be greater than the strength of Hashem to forgive. Says something unbelievable. He says, a person has free choice. He could choose whether to do mitzvahs or to do a virus. And however powerful the person thinks he is, that he's able to do sin, he says, that much more powerful is Hashem. Hashem is so much more powerful than him that he's able to forgive him regardless of what he did. That means that regardless of what the person sinned, and however powerful the sin is, and sin is a terrible thing, but the power of Hashem is even greater than that. And the power of Hashem is that regardless of what you sinned, I look away. As Dr. Tatschdoten, that we say in the Dr. Yachle Yisrur El Hashem, we say in Tehillim, that the Yidden should hope and wait, and they should await the Geile. Because Hashem, He is going to save us, because He wants to do us chesed. Hashem chesed v'harbe, and the Lushan, the He if there's Yisrael, v'harbe ime for this, and the Lushan is v'harbe ime for this, and He could always save us, v'hi if there's Yisrael m'kol v'noisov, and He could redeem us from what? From our sins, which means that however much we've sinned, He could redeem us from all those sins. So shteit amoydig is achten sefer ikrim, which is that we will not be saved in our merits. We will be saved simply because Hashem wants to do us chesed. That's going to be the reason why we will be saved. And that could happen regardless of what position the person is in, and regardless of what the person has done, he is worthy of being saved because the person is going to be saved simply because Hashem wants to do chesed. But I think that's deeper than that, is to understand that Hashem's relationship with us is something which cannot be taken away. That's something which cannot be broken regardless of what we've done. I think we mentioned it before, the mushul that the Tzurim bring down of a prince that was kidnapped from his father, and the prince grew up with his captives, and they were afraid that when he gets older he'll go back to his father. So they kept on telling him, you should know that your father hates you, your father doesn't like you, you've sinned so much in your life, your father doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And this little child grew up with this misconception in his mind that his father does not want to have anything to do with him. And of course, he never saw his father, and he never spoke to his father, so he wasn't able to know whether it's true or not. At one point, He was going on a walk, and he was walking past his father's palace, and he hears his father saying, talking to himself, and he's crying. He says, "I wish I would see my son. I haven't seen him in so many years. I miss him so much, and I wish I would see him again." And the father is crying. The father says, "Regardless of what he's done, regardless of where he is and what he looks like, I will always take him back with open arms." And this child hears this, and he says, "If so, I'm coming back." He knocks on the door and he walks in. The Gemara in Bruchos zok tamoyde gevete. The Gemara in Bruchos says, Reb Leizer says, "Shulosh mishmuras haver raila." The night is divided into three parts. "Val kol mishmer mishmer," on every one of these parts, "Yoishev Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'shoy kvarid." Hashem is sitting there, kviyuchel, and he's crying and he's screaming like a lion. And it says in Pusik, "Hashem yimurim yishok." And the Rishon Zanom Rebitzak Bashmil, that Hashem is burach, he says these words, he's crying and he says, "Oy lebunim." Or let's fill up the other gears. "Oy li," says, "woe is to me, shechrafti as baisi, that I destroyed my house, v'serafti as achuli, and I burnt my haichul, I burnt my besamigdosh, v'heglisi as puna, and I sent my children, my beloved sons, lebayin imus u'oilom." That is what Hashem is crying. If you hear Hashem crying these words and he's saying, "Woe is to me, such a shame that I send them away in gulus. I regret, kviyuchel, so to speak, I regret sending them in gulus. I wish I could have them back. I wish I could have my sons back." If the person hears those words, how could he think to himself that Hashem is not interested in him? If he clearly hears every single day, the Gemara says every single day, three times a night, every single night, Ribbono Shel Olam is crying and he's waiting, "I wish I could have my kids back." Now it's interesting, if you're going to look in the Gemara, you're going to see that they've changed the girsa. Now that girsa has been changed by the tenze. We know the tenze, the Gemara is given into those. Usually it was these Yidden who never converted to Christianity, and they went through the whole Gemara and they took out all those parts that they weren't happy with, and they decided it doesn't fit with their agenda, and they fixed it. So many of our Gemuras that we have now is not the original text. So if you're going to look in the text of that Gemara in Bruchas, he actually changed the wording. The tenze changed the wording, and he writes there that Hashem cries, instead of saying, "Oy li, woe is to me that I sent my kids in gulus," he twists it to the other way around. And it says, "Oy lebunem, woe to the kids, shabavon esayim, because of their sins, I had to burn my Beis HaMikdash, and I had to send them in gulus." So he basically puts the blame on us, instead of the Nisach of the Gemara reading that Hashem wants us back, he actually managed to twist the Gemara that should sound like Hashem is complaining that's all our fault that we were going to go this. But that's not the truth. The truth is Hashem wants us back regardless of what we've done. So I think that if we internalize this thing, I think that will be a game changer for us. To bring down the Chofetz Chaim towards the end of his life, he went on holiday, and he was in a resort town. It was somewhere next to the forest. And it was towards the end of his life, and he was very, very frail and old, and he was one of the Gedoy Lador. And many, many Rosh Hashivas came to see him and just to have a glimpse, to get a glimpse of the face of the Tzaddik, of the Tzaddik. And people used to come to him, and he used to give a lecture Friday night, and used to give a Shtikl Torah. That was his minig every single week. That week, they saw that the Chofetz Chaim was very, very, he's very worked up, and instead of giving his regular weekly lecture, he actually said something else, and he actually said, that why are we not out of Golus yet? Why are we still here in this Golus? And he's thinking to himself, why are we still here in Golus? And then he says, I think I know the answer. I think the answer is, because it says in Pusik, "Ki maitzayis chum eretz Mitzrayim areni nefluas," which means that just the same way the Yidden were redeemed of Mitzrayim, that is going to be the same way that we're going to be redeemed from Golus. Why are we Yidden saved from Mitzrayim? Said the Chofetz Chaim. If you see from the Psikim, you see that the Yidden went through a lot of torture. It doesn't say anything that Hashem wanted to save them. When did it all change? It all changed at some point. It says, "Vayumas melech Mitzrayim, vayonchi b'nai Yisroel menu avoidu vayizuki." They started shouting, they started crying. "Batal shavusam elu elekim menu avoidu." That's when everything changed. Says the Chofetz Chaim, I think that's what's lacking now. I think what's lacking now is that the Yidden that become accustomed to being in Gulus and they have no interest in being saved. I think if we would manage to say that we get the entire Klal Yisrael together, that everyone should scream and ask Hashem to redeem us, I think that would be the secret. So the Chofetz Chaim decided there and then that he's going to write a Kol Koyre. Kol Koyre, that's a letter written, signed by all the Gedolei Hador, and they're going to give out a letter telling the entire Klal Yisrael that what we should do now is we should start working on davening to Hashem to take us out of Mitzrayim. So he decided the good Lador in those days was Reb Chaim Oize. He lived in Vilna. So he decided he's going to travel, he himself is going to travel to Vilna, which was a long, long way, and it wasn't an easy travel, and he's going to speak to the Reb Chaim Oize. Together we'll give out a signed letter to tell the entire Klal Yisrael to daven to Hashem to redeem us from Gulas, and that's what will be redeemed. Now, of course, the people that were the house people of Chofetz Chaim didn't want him to travel. They knew he was an elderly, frail person, and they knew that if he'll travel, it'd be sekundas nefushas. So they decided to try and put him off this idea, but he was adamant that he has to go, and he wants to go. So they managed to get Reb Shimon Shkop, who was one of the major Rosh Hashivas, to come and speak to the Chofetz Chaim to try and dissuade him from going. And Reb Shimon Shkop came and he told him, you know, you're an elderly person and it's old and it's cold and it's a difficult journey, it's not for you. And the Chofetz Chaim became so angry and he says, I thought that you'll be on my side and you're going to support me, and instead of supporting me, then you're trying to dissuade me. I'm going, come what may, I'm going. And he told his people to call the wagon, and he says he's leaving right there and then, he's traveling to Vilna. Now it was late at night, so what they managed to do is they went over to the wagon driver, and they told him exactly what he should say. So the wagon driver comes over and he says, Rav, you should know it's impossible to travel now. You have to understand it's late at night and it's dangerous. There are pits in the roads and you could easily fall into, and then you've got robbers, highway robbers. It's a very, very dangerous time. You can't travel by night. It's a difficult time to travel. Perhaps tomorrow morning we will travel. So the Chofetz Chaim, Chaim said he was very upset, but he said, okay, he's willing to wait till the morning. And he woke up, was seeking, and woke up the first thing in the morning, and he davened immediately. And then he told them, please call the wagon driver, I want to travel. And of course, they told the wagon driver, and the wagon driver said, I'm sorry, I already took a different job, and I can't go. Chofetz Chaim was very upset, and he says, it's a shame. They missed the opportunity. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. That's the story of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, I'd like to add a little nekid, and I think that's a very, very critical point. Chofetz Chaim said that just like the Eden when they came out of Mitzrayim, it all started when they started begging Hashem to come out of Mitzrayim. Now, we find a very interesting thing in the Psikim Parsha Shemois. We find that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, please go to him by the story of the snare, and he told him, please go to Paroi and tell him that I want to take out the Eden from Mitzrayim. He says, before you go to Paroi, I've got another job for you. And the job is you should go to Klal Yisrael, bring together the elders of Klal Yisrael, and tell them that, I, Hashem, want to take you out of Mitzrayim. Please get together the Klal Yisrael, tell them that I want to take you out of Mitzrayim, I want to redeem you. And only then should you go to Paroi. Why was that so important? Why was that so critical? And I think the reason is very simple. Because as long as the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, they were in the Memtei Shara Timah. They were in the depth of the depths of the Timah, of the impurity, and they did the worst of the worst. Now, the Yidden at the time, they didn't feel that they are worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim. So they couldn't beg, they couldn't really ask Hashem, take me out, because why would Hashem want to take me out? I'm not worthy for it. So what Hashem had to tell Moshe is, first go to the elders of Klal Yisrael, call together Klal Yisrael, tell them that regardless of what you've did, you are always going to stay my children, my beloved children. And once the Yidden are going to internalize this message that it's impossible to disconnect Hashem from Klal Yisrael, from his beloved children, only then will they be able to honestly beg Hashem to take them out of Mitzrayim. But it's only after that point, only once they're going to notice that Hashem always likes them regardless of what they've done. And you see, Taker, from the Pesikim, that that's exactly what happened, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim. The first thing he did is he got together Klal Yisrael, and he did all the oases, all the signs to the Klal Yisrael. And then the Pusik goes on to say, the nation believed, and they heard Kifukad Hashem. And the next Pasha goes on to say that Moshe and Aharon went to Paroi, and they told Paroi, please take Eden out of Mitzrayim. But they had to go through that stage, because only once the Klal Yisrael, they have that Hashem loves them, only then were you able to go to the next step also. Now, I think that's pshat in the Yalkut Shemoni. We start with the Yalkut Shemoni says that why were Eden going to be saved? B'schis emin and egali mi Mitzrayim. In the schis of emin, that's why the Eden were saved from Mitzrayim. And b'schis emin asidim negul. That's going to be the schis. So what he means to say is emin doesn't merely mean just to believe that Hashem is going to take us out. It means deeper than that. It means that once the Eden believed that regardless of what they did, they are always worthy of being taken out of Gulas, because Hashem loves them, because we are the kids of Hashem, only then were they able to take. And it's interesting to note that the Pusik that the Yalkut Shemoni brings is this exact pusik that we just mentioned now. Vayamen hu'om ve'ish mikipuk Hashem. This is the pusik that's referring to the case where Moshe first went to Klal Yisrael and he told them Hashem wants to take you out, and they believed that Hashem wants to take them out, and only then did he go to Paris. Because that is a very critical part of the Ge'ele. In all of us to really, really believe with our whole heart, we have to first internalize this thing that we don't have to be worthy for it. Regardless of what we've done and regardless of what we look like, Hashem always wants to take us out, because we are always going to be His children, His beloved children. I'd like to finish off with a Moedige story. Now, I usually like to, whenever I say a story, I usually like to track it down to, you know, to find out the authenticity of the story, how authentic it is. I actually found it in a cipher and I tracked it onto another cipher and then to another cipher. But the first source that it's brought down, I wasn't able to get hold of that cipher. So I can't promise you the story is true, but it's definitely based on true facts. But the story is an excellent story. I think it brings out very much this point. The story goes as follows. It's the way the cipher Ard O'Neill brings down the story. There was a story of a teenage girl called Shindel. She was unfortunately a Yisoyme. She unfortunately lost her mother at a very young age. And she was living with the father together. And, of course, she went through a very difficult, traumatic childhood. And outwardly, you couldn't tell anything was wrong. But deep down, she was very, very, very broken. At some point, she told the father and she said, "Father, I'd like to travel to India. I'd like to travel to India, and please, I want you to buy me a ticket and to give me money to be able to spend in India." So father looks a little bit shocked and he says, "Why would you like to travel to India? Well, you know, what's a frum girl looking in India?" She looks at her father and she says, "Father, I'm not a frum girl anymore. Even though I look like a frum girl, I've had enough. I'm going to try out all those different religions, the Buddhism and all those different things. I'm going to try it out. That's it. I've had enough. I hope you are going to forgive me." The father is shocked and says, "I will forgive you. After all that I've done, all that I've done to you, I brought you up, I gave you my entire life, everything I gave to you, and I made sure to be mechanic the way it should, and this is what you do to me. You drop everything, like drop me like a hot potato, and you go to travel to India. I will never forgive you," the father says. The girl walks out the door. The next thing we know, she is in India. She traveled to India. She spends time in India, checking out all the different religions, different cults, and all the different things. She's there for about 6 months, and then she decides, you know what? She wants to call her father. She wants to see what's going to happen. She's going to call her father. She calls up her father. There's no answer. She tries again a week later. No answer. All right, there's no answer. That means my father's not interested in me anymore. So she said, if he's not interested in me, then I'm not interested in him. And she goes on to live there in India, and she did whatever she wanted to do. 3 years passed since she was in India, and all of a sudden she meets a childhood friend. And the childhood friend said, "Shindel, it's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in such a long time. I was so upset when I heard the news about your father." He said, "The news about my father? What news about my father?" He says, "What, you didn't hear? About half a year after you left to India, your father never had a heart attack, and he passed away. And people were saying that maybe it's because of you, because he traveled to India, and that's why it hurt him to the core, and that's why he had a heart attack." She was completely broken. She was taken in shock. And she now understood that the reason why her father wasn't answering the telephone calls was simply because no one wasn't around anymore. So she decided there and then she has to travel back to Eretz Yisrael. She can't stay any longer. She has to travel back to Eretz Yisrael. She couldn't bring herself to stay in this place, India. So after all that heartache that she caused the father, she bought the next ticket back. She went back to Eretz Yisrael. She finds herself in Eretz Yisrael. She had nowhere to go. So the first thing she did is she was going to go to the Kaisel. She goes to the Kaisel, and she breaks down crying, and she's crying on her past, on everything that she's done. She's crying on the whole childhood trauma and everything that she went through in her life. She's crying on the present that she's completely messed up now. She's crying on the future. She has no idea where she's going to continue on in life. She's crying for everything that, all the heartache that she caused the father. And she couldn't bring herself to control herself from her emotions, and she was crying and crying and crying. Then she decided, she remembered that you could write a note and you could put it in the slots of the kaisel. So she takes out a piece of paper and she writes the following words. She says, "I'm writing this note to my father, her physical father. He says, I know that you're not around anymore, but I'm hoping that maybe from Shemaim you're still looking down at me. I wish I could tell you these words. I wish you would be moichel me, you would forgive me for what I caused you." And she's writing these words, "And please send me a sign. I want a sign to know that that you're going to accept my apology. I can't apologize enough for all the aggravation I caused you. And she writes those words on this little note, and she decides to squeeze it between the cracks of the stones of the Kaisel. She tries pushing it in, but it's not fitting in because there was so many notes there. So every time she pushed it in, it just kept on falling out again and again and again. And she decided that she asked that maybe this is a sign from Hashem, that Hashem is not interested in her. And then finally, she was standing next to the mechitza that divides between the men and the women. She saw by the men's side, there was a crack which was a little bit deeper. Perhaps she could fit in that note in the men's side. She takes a chair, and she squeezes the note into the men's side. And as she's squeezing it in, there's another note that falls out from the men's side. So she picks up the note, and she wants to put it back, stick it back in. And before she puts it back in, all of a sudden, her eyes catch a glimpse of the words that says there, and it said her name. It says Scheindl Ben Rifke. Scheindl, that was her name. Scheindl Bas Rifke. Scheindl Bas Rifke. So she quickly opens up, and she sees the words, she sees the handwriting of her father. The father's writing of the settlement. The father's saying that first he writes, Nisach to Hashem, please, my daughter Scheindl Bas Rifke, just recently, 2 months ago, she traveled to India, and I have no idea where she is. And please, Hashem, bring her back. And then the father goes on to write the following words, and he says, and I'm writing these words to my daughter. I know that she's not going to see this, but I'm still writing it. And it says, if I could tell my daughter, I would tell her these words. That my daughter, my dear Scheindl, I know that I told you that I will never forgive you. But I want to tell you that that's not true. I forgave you straight away because I understand that it all came from a broken place. You were so broken. And I didn't understand you enough. And I wish I could tell you that if only you would come back to me, I will always embrace you. And I will always accept you regardless of what you look like because you are my daughter and I love you. Regardless of what you've done and all the aggravation you caused me. I wish I could tell you that I'm going to be moichel you, that I forgive you with my whole heart. She sees those words and she fainted immediately. And of course they revived. And as we say, the rest of the story is history. She came back to Yiddishkeit and she grew up and she brought up a beautiful Haredi family, and apparently now she lives in Yerushalayim with Chushevik kids, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That's the story which I heard. Again, I can't promise you the story is true, but the message of the story is very clear. That had she known all along that the father wanted to embrace her, the father wanted her back, she would never have done what she did. She would have come back straight away. It was only because of her misconception that she thought her father is not interested in her. That's why she didn't want to come back. If we are going to internalize this thing, that regardless of what we've done, 3 times a night, woe is to the kids who are unfortunate to go in Gulas. And if we would internalize that Hashem is crying and begging us to come back, we don't need to do anything. We don't need to be worthy. Saif Rikrim says, regardless of what you've done, Hashem wants us back because we are His children. If we are going to internalize and remember this thing that He wants us back, He wants us back, He wants us back. All we have to do is that we have to want to come back. Once we have to come, we know that we have to come back and we believe that we could come back, then we'll have our real amine. That is our job and our tafkid. It's a piece of the yeshia, because when we're going to internalize that message, then we're going to be able to bring up our level of believing to actually anticipating and to awaiting the ge'ile. And be'ezet Hashem will be zoicha, still this year we'll be zoicha me'etz Hashem, kima'et tzayis l'meid, as mitzrayim are in the fluas, we will be zoicha to the ge'ile, shalayim, b'mahari, b'mayni, b'kuriv, mamash.
Amen.